Good evening, everybody. This is Charles Hanegriff. Before we begin our post-game show tonight, I want to say a few words for the horrible tragedy that hit our Guaranty family today and so many people that knew Carly McCord. The news that came in too late for the pregame show, really, to be able to say some of the things that they felt, and I know they will when they come back, but it falls to me now. And we want to do this before we begin the show tonight. We're devastated by the loss of our friend and our colleague. She was incredibly bright. She was funny. She was energetic. She was sharp. She was driven. They say that there are some people that it will brighten up any room that they walk into. Carly McCord was like that. When she came to work for us at Guaranty, Gordy told me that one of our first assignments would be working with us, and my good friend Mike Dettillier, who was also very good friends with Carly, said, "You're going to be really happy because she's fantastic." And after I met with her, before she started working on our show, I told Gordy after that first meeting, I said, "You know, I'm really excited to be working with her. I just know it's not going to be for very long because she's going to be a star. She's going to move up very, very quickly." And I was right, but it was a very, very easy prediction to make. She wanted to be great at what she did, and she worked hard to achieve that. I remember when she first started doing baseball games, and she wanted me to help her because I had been broadcasting baseball, and most of her work had been on football. And I said, "Sure, I'll be glad to do whatever you want." We spent hours. She wanted to be great at everything that she did. She was a great colleague, but she was a better friend. I could always count on her when we came to work for a laugh. I don't ever remember seeing her without smiling. We used to joke back and forth. Her love of Louisiana and her lack of love for Cleveland. She used to accuse me of being a secret Cleveland Browns fan. It was just a little banner that we had back and forth. She was completely devoted to her family, and that's why my heart is broken for them tonight and for all of us at Guaranty as well. Today was surreal. Unfortunately, we had to go and see so many of the people. We were all in the press box and looked at each other in a lot of cases with not knowing what to say, because what can you say? We all felt the same shock and sadness. She had an impact on so many people, and she would have absolutely loved being there today. To her husband, Stephen, and her entire family, many of whom I know well, my deepest sympathy and my prayers. We loved Carly, and we're going to miss her. And if she were here right now, she'd say, "Hanegriff, get you behind the work." There's a lot of Tiger fans out there that want to celebrate tonight, unless she's going to the national championship. So let's do postgame.
Now, the 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life. Live from the Atlanta Marriott Marquis, here's Charles Hanegriff.
A thorough domination by the LSU Tigers tonight over the Oklahoma Sooners has LSU headed to the national championship game in New Orleans on January the 13th. Not so much a win as a complete domination of the number four team in the country. LSU set so many records, if we started listing them right now, it might take us the rest of the show to get all the way through them. Joe Burrow, 7 touchdowns in the first half, and turned this game into a rout early. Oklahoma was defenseless against this LSU attack, and the LSU defense made a number of plays in this game as well. A stadium that leaned towards LSU. Oklahoma actually made a pretty good showing in the fan department, but it was no match, as the Tigers absolutely rolled tonight. And if there was any doubt before who the number one team in the nation is, there isn't after that game at the Peach Bowl. It started out exactly the way the entire game played out. If you didn't do anything other than watch the first 3 minutes of this game, you would have gotten exactly how this game went. Oklahoma came out tight. They came out pressing. LSU came out making plays. From the very first play of the from scrimmage, when Jalen Hurts was sacked by Kalavon Chaisson and put them in a hole, to the third down give-up call, to the shanked punt, to the three-play drive that saw LSU go up 7-0 with 12 minutes and 3 seconds to go in the first quarter, that was how this game went. LSU played with confidence. LSU played with aggression. Oklahoma played passively. They had it taken to them. And while they did what they could and they never quit, they were badly, badly outmanned tonight. Badly, badly outclassed tonight. This looked more like a game between a conference champion and a conference also-ran, more so than a conference champion against a conference champion. The numbers are astronomical. We have at times in the past said, well, you know, that team can name the score. LSU literally could have named the score. This was 21-7 after one. It was 49-14 at halftime. And the prognostication from a youngster that came by Matt Moscona's show yesterday actually could have happened. He came in and is only the youthful and exuberant can do, said they might score 100 tomorrow. He very well could have been right. LSU throttled it back in the second half, but Joe Burrow, who finished with 493 yards and seven touchdown passes, some of the numbers that just boggle your mind. He's now LSU's all-time touchdown leader, surpassing Tommy Hodson, who was a four-year all-conference player at LSU. Not just a four-year starter, a four-year all-conference player. Gone over 5,000 yards for his career. He added a rushing touchdown later in the game to account for 8 total touchdowns. Justin Jefferson, and this kind of gives you an idea of just how deep, how talented, how unbelievably strong this LSU team is. Justin Jefferson finished with 14 catches for 227 yards and 4 touchdowns tonight. He broke all kinds of records. Again, we're going to go through the list. That's not the guy that won the Biletnikoff. The guy that won the Biletnikoff caught 2 balls for 61 yards tonight. We talked about holding C.D. Lamb to a reasonable amount of yardage for Oklahoma. I said that somewhere around 8 catches for 80 or 90 yards and a touchdown would be a perfectly reasonable thing to expect LSU to hold him to. He caught only 4 balls. He did go for 119, but they kept him out of the end zone. Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma's leading rusher, held to 43 yards. He did score 2 short touchdowns. But he was held to 217 yards through the air. He did not throw a touchdown pass. He was picked off once and completed less than 50% of his passes. At one point in the night, Joe Burrow had more touchdown passes than he had incompletions. In fact, that was the number that carried into the second half. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a big story all week, made what I would call cameo appearances. He had 2 carries for 14 yards and really was not needed in this game. In his place, Chris Curry carried the rushing load for LSU tonight. 16 carries for 89 yards and ran tough, ran hard. Ran like the guy that we heard about when Curry came to LSU last year. Said he had a little bit of Marshawn Lynch to him. Well, that hadn't panned out until tonight. We saw a little bit of that. The 2 freshman backs that we thought might have to shoulder the load, the 2 other freshman backs, really were non-factors in this game. The special teams were solid. LSU did everything right tonight in one of quite possibly, I think, the most dominant half of football I've ever seen at this level. And by this level, I don't mean college football. I mean for a game of this magnitude. Yes, we've seen near-perfect halves against non-conference opponents and things like that. But to go to 49-14 in a video game-like first quarter and first half, I don't know that I've seen that, certainly out of LSU, ever before in a game of this magnitude. So, for the Tigers, it's one step away. This special team that we've said, enjoy the ride, enjoy the ride. You're going to New Orleans. Joe Burrow, who is having the most unbelievable season, I think, in college football history, has one more chapter left to write. Tonight, Everybody in the LSU nation will enjoy this one, a thorough domination of the Oklahoma Sooners, and the only thing left to decide is who they will face in the Dome on January the 13th. We got a lot for you. Expanded show tonight. We'll be going back to the Mercedes-Benz Dome a little bit, and we'll have a press conference. We got Jordy Collada down there. Gordy Rush will join me here as soon as he's done down at the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Jacob Hester is down there. Richard Dixon will join us from back in Baton Rouge. We're going to take a bunch of your phone calls. So, Tiger fans, celebrate. You're going to the Natty. 63-28 over Oklahoma. This is our continuing coverage of the playoffs, the Peach Bowl here in Atlanta, brought to you by E-Tail Business and by Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
63-28 as we watch the teams come out of the tunnel for the Fiesta Bowl and the game that will determine LSU's opponent in the national championship game after their 63-28 win against Oklahoma. Jimmy Ott joins me now as we get into the big part of post game, and like I said, we'll hear from a lot of people tonight. But Jimmy, you're the first one to make it back. What'd you think?
Man, I'm so glad I was able to sit in the stands and see the coverages and see the things that were happening with my son, because a lot of these throws, look, the Moss busted it one, you know, right before half. They busted a coverage. He was wide open, but these guys were covered. I'm like, we're having problems getting separation. And he is just throwing receivers into, you know, throwing them into, you know,
throwing them open.
Yeah, throwing them open. And it just, I'm awestruck. I mean, this guy is so doggone good, Charlie. I mean, there weren't guys 10 yards. And you know how I assess Jalen Hurts, where you got to defend him and those safeties and backers are defending the run. And boom, CeeDee Lamb's 15 yards in the clear. These were tight pockets to throw the ball. And he's making them. Jefferson makes one drop. Well, he made up for him because he came back to him over and over and over. And there were so many times where, like, he's covered, but he understands. It's one-on-one, and he's going to throw the ball up for his receiver. Kind of reminds me, as we watch Trevor Lawrence warm up right now, what he said after the game last year against Alabama. He says, I just got to throw it to these guys. You know, the guy, they're going to make the catches. It was – I'm floored. I am kind of lost for words a little bit, just how good he is. We know he's good, but this was crazy good tonight, Charlie. I mean, we sat together. What year was that in Gainesville for Danny Werfel?
96.
This was better.
Yeah, it was.
This was better. This is the best throwing game I've seen in college football, as far as firsthand, in the stadium. Yeah. And that was the best. And you and I were pretty much on agreement, right?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, he was – Danny Werfel, like 30 yards downfield, was basically – if he could hand the ball to him, he was putting it – this was that kind of night. And, yes, I mean, even 3rd-and-10, he runs for a first down. It's unbelievable how good this guy is. And we knew he was a lock for the Heisman Trophy coming into the SEC Championship game. But you know what we saw in the SEC Championship game? He made plays that he never made before. I mean, moving, swimming, getting out of it, buying time against a great defense. Here tonight, he was just a surgeon. I mean, so good. I mean, it's unbelievable. We are blessed to see this kid play. He is so doggone good.
On the other side, you and I have spent on the Daily Show an awful lot of time talking about and debating the game of Jalen Hurts from his time at Alabama at the very beginning all the way through this season. And there's been a lot of ups and downs. We've agreed at times and disagreed at other times. I thought that this year he had really made some advances as a quarterback. Tonight he looked more like the Jalen Hurts at Alabama, which was an inaccurate passer that was under some pressure, but also at times had time to throw and just miss guys very early in the game. The second drive, and it's a 7-0 game, And there is a throw that he had about 5 or 6 seconds. LSU just dropped almost everybody.
Yeah, they did that a lot tonight.
They did, and they basically said, we're going to contain you. We're not going to let you get outside, but we'll let you sit in that pocket, and we'll let you throw it. And if you can beat us that way, go right ahead. And he couldn't. He missed badly on some throw. You know, when he was pressured and had to throw balls away, fine. But times when he had ample time to set his feet and throw the football and was not able to deliver it.
When we broke down his statistics, and LSU has actually gained one more yard the whole season than Oklahoma, Jalen Hurts actually had higher yards per attempt than Joe Burrow this year. They both accounted for exactly 51 touchdowns, but the eyeball is so much different. And this was just this is an SEC defense. This is an Auburn, Florida. I don't know where they stack, where LSU stacks. Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, I don't know. But they're right in there. And Oklahoma hasn't faced that. It's an unbelievable year for Matt Rhule at Baylor. But this is a different game. And, Charlie, I mean, I had two things. Guard CeeDee Lamb and defend Jalen Hurts' legs. And I wasn't crazy about CeeDee Lamb being one-on-one with a safety. At one point, okay? I wasn't crazy about that.
The first catch that he made over Stevens, I don't even know if that was by design or if it just ended up that way. Stevens actually had reasonable coverage on him.
He was covered. He's just not as good.
Right, no, he's
not.
Yeah.
I mean, we're waiting for Stingley. We take it for granted now that Stingley always looks back and makes a play in the ball. You think Stingley makes that play? Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
So, but he's still uncomfortable. He's still, when he gets back to what it is. And this is the first time in 43 starts that his team has been an underdog. That's a fact. The opinion is this is the first time in 43 starts where he was going against better talent.
Right.
And, you know, he was just, some guys wide open, you know, and so at certain points. But you can't match course. And LSU deferred. They're killing Oklahoma and getting a kickoff to start the second half.
The game was – I thought the game at 35 was pretty much done.
35-7?
Yeah. It's over. So and that was with 35-7.
He had a little interference, non-call. That was a key call, but
9 minutes to go in the second quarter. That's where I thought, okay, this is it. We're going to play another 39 minutes of football, but the issue has been decided. So here's the college football playoff. I tell you we'd list some of these records, okay? Here's college football playoff records today. Touchdowns responsible for Joe Burrow, 8. Touchdown passes, Joe Burrow, 7. Passing yards and a half, Joe Burrow, 403. Passing yards total, 493 yards. Total yards, 515, all for Joe Burrow. Justin Jefferson receiving touchdowns, 4. Justin Jefferson receiving yards, 227. Team, points and a half, 49. Team, points in a game, 63. Team, total yards, 692. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. Alex Grinch did a great job with that Oklahoma defense in the regular season, but not tonight.
You pile up stats against the Arena wins, against weaker opponents in the conference, but this is the top 4 teams in the country. This is different. This is going to stand for a long time. It's going to stand for a long time. I'm sorry.
This is a better Oklahoma defense
than they had last year.
But statistically, much better. Much better. But they were defenseless tonight.
I thought they were in position. They had guys right there. Did you not?
Yeah, absolutely. Quite a few times. You get a 15-yard penalty on a drive. I don't have the number on this, but what do you think the touchdown percentage is on drives where you have a 15-yard penalty? The offense has a 15-yard penalty. What percentage of – usually those are drive killers.
I'd say – wait, you're talking about
if
the defense?
The offense. If you have a 15-yard penalty
– 10%.
Yeah. And
maybe
I would,
8, 7.
Right. They had 2 15-yard penalties on the same drive, still scored.
Good gracious.
And one of them was a 3rd and 18, and he hits Chase for 21, I think it was, 21
it's
or 22.
Just...
They were fabulous tonight. As good a college football performance in a big game as I've ever seen.
No.
I don't know how much better you can get than that tonight.
You know, we're old guys, Charlie, okay?
Thanks for reminding me of
all
that.
All right, but I was bored watching Michael Jordan a lot of times because he was so good.
Were you a Bulls fan?
No, not at all.
If you're a Bulls fan, you wouldn't want to get tired.
But the second half, snooze fest.
Yeah, it's
sorry. I mean, like run the clock. That's how good you. That's the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
When you this is a college football semifinal and it's over by a long shot, and what happens if they take the kickoff to start the game? It was unbelievable. But this kid is so we know it. Okay, we've thrown out the superlatives, but my thing was these guys were covered tonight. The DBs are right there to make plays, and he's throwing them open. We talk about making throws. What NFL scouts want, they don't care. Making throws when they're forced to make throws in tight windows.
Mm-hmm.
What else could he do? Now, listen, the receivers are really good, okay? Jefferson made a little bit more money tonight. There's no doubt. But, my goodness, it was unbelievable. And the Saints are like, what is going on? What do we do with this?
Right.
We're not that far removed from the Les Miles offensive approach.
Joe Burrow and these receivers really rendered almost all of the pregame storylines meaningless. How much did we talk about? Was Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to play? He ended up playing a little bit. Didn't matter. What was going to be of the freshman running backs? Well, it was the freshman that we didn't think would get the start. That ended up, but that really didn't matter. Jalen Hurts, how are they going to connect? Didn't matter. CeeDee Lamb, how big of a guy? Didn't matter. If Joe Burrow and those receivers are doing this, they can almost make the rest of the game seem like it is irrelevant because you ain't going to score with these cats.
I thought LSU handled the Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing perfectly tonight. They dressed him out. He's warming up. I tweeted out, okay, he's warming up. He's dressed out. But he didn't start. But they kind of needed a little play. At that point, you don't know.
14-yard run, and yeah,
you don't know. But then, as soon as they built that lead, out.
Sure,
I thought it was. And when you're, it's easy for us to sit here at this table when everything's calm and to say this is the right play. But when you're in the middle of the game and your adrenaline is going and game management, sometimes it's tough. I thought that was executed perfectly by LSU tonight.
We'll take a break here at the Marriott Marquis. The first drive for Ohio State has them down into Clemson territory. They're reviewing a call on a play down that would put Ohio State first and goal inside the 10. Otherwise, they'll play second down from somewhere around the Clemson 25-yard line, so they've got a drive going to open the Fiesta Bowl. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Close early. They went on the run there at the end of the first half. We got a little frantic and just didn't play our best. And give them credit. You know, they certainly made plays, but we gave them a lot of plays with our mistakes. That's probably the most disappointing there at the end of the half, and obviously they made the big run and got some separation. It's been a great year. This team, I told them in there, it's been an absolute joy to coach. A lot of adversity that this team's had to deal with, some on the outside, some that the outside doesn't know about. That they've been a joy. They really have, and had to fight through a lot just to get here. And it's kind of the disappointment you balance right now, the disappointment of not winning and accomplishing your ultimate goal here. And on top of that, just not playing our best, and there's it's hard to describe that disappointment. But you balance that with a sense of pride of what this group's been able to accomplish, in an era of, the championships, all that stuff are great, but shoot, in an era when a lot of guys don't even want to play in their own bowl game. I got two guys next to me right here that'll play in the NFL year and that'll be next year and that'll be high draft picks that were, both injured, both had things going on, both could easily came out of the game and just begging to stay in the game there even in the last couple of minutes. And that's the kind of culture we built, and guys like these two are very much responsible for that. So proud of these guys. It hurts right now, but won't diminish all they've been able to accomplish. And I love this team. That's it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We'll go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll go right here in the front row. Barry?
Yeah, Barry Trammell with the Oklahoma Lincoln. Is today an example of just a bad day at Black Rock, or is it an example of how much further you need to go to get over this hurdle you want to get over?
LSU's a good team. Like I said, they're a good enough team that, you were going to trade blows with them no matter what. And you know, we made some uncharacteristic mistakes there in kind of the second quarter, into the first quarter, the second quarter, that we haven't made some all year. And you can't give a team like that any help. And then certainly, not having a few of the guys, certainly the Buki getting ejected on the targeting was a huge, huge play in the game. We lost our composure there a little bit, lost our sense of focus, and it hurt us, and LSU capitalized on it. So give them credit. Certainly didn't play our best. Where that is in the big picture, I honestly don't really care.
Dean?
Coach, this is the second year in a row of slow starts, putting yourself behind and just having too big of a gulf to catch up. Can you put your finger on anything? Is it tenseness? Can you point to anything?
Nah, this one's different. Bama last year jumped up. It was 28-0 before you could even blink. We weren't really playing good on any of the sides. I thought we kind of steadied after we hit the big play to CD and then Kennedy scored the first touchdown. I felt like we were going to kind of steady there. And we traded blows early. It was just that run there. You play really good teams in this playoff. And when you don't play your best ball, good teams are going to take advantage of it. And LSU took advantage of us not playing our best ball there. And then there were just some pivotal third, big, like there's going to be in these games, but some pivotal third downs that they made, a couple of, unbelievable plays, a couple boneheaded plays, several opportunities offensively that were just that far away. But in games like this, that's the margin of error.
Okay, right here in the front row on the left.
James Hale, Sports Talk 1400, the ref. Lincoln, when Buki got ejected, you had to go to an inexperienced player. He's a really talented guy, but still, how much did that put you in the eight ball, knowing the injuries and things that you've had back there?
Yeah, it was challenging. Broyles was our primary replacement for Turner Yell getting hurt. And so, we worked Broyles, had to just crash course him at safety, over the last week to get him ready. And then all of a sudden now he's got to play nickel, And so those guys are going to continue to be good players. Yeah, you'd love to have gone in with the other ones. That wasn't the hand we were dealt. And there's, they got some good players. Was that a factor in the game? Yes. Was it a deciding factor? No. Some of our mistakes and inability to play our very best was the deciding factor.
Okay, right here in the front row on the right.
Yeah, John Hoover, the franchise in the Sporting News. Bob used to say when these things got sideways sometimes, and even when they didn't, that the other team that you're playing against, a championship team in these big game settings, they're awful good, and that makes the difference. Did that happen tonight where this thing got going sideways partially because they were awful good and then they kept it going that way because they were so good?
Yeah,
in other words, the other team's talent.
No, they're a good team. There's no question about it. I mean, you look at their quality wins this year. They're a good football team. Give them credit. And I thought they played well. And I thought we, again, the disappointing thing is we helped them play well way too much. And I felt like if we played well, we were going to be able to stand in there and trade blows with them. Or really did. And we did early. But, when you start making mistakes, a combination of that and a talented team playing well, they go on a run like they do.
Okay. Right here.
Garen Emig of the Tulsa World. I was going to ask Neville and Jalen for your perspective on what LSU did that was so effective. On Neville, if you could speak to what they did offensively that was effective, especially maybe even surprisingly so, and Jalen, if you could say the same about LSU's defense.
I mean, again, they're a solid ball club, and they're able to make plays. They took advantage of opportunities that they had, and just like as a good football, team should. And, there's opportunities for us to, kind of make plays, and, it didn't happen, but, that's a credit to them and, the work they put in. And, they got a solid group of guys up front, a guy in the QB that can make plays and, is effective. So that was a credit to them.
Jalen?
Yeah, just talk about the missed opportunities. We had leaving money on the table. Just going out there and taking advantage of every opportunity we have against teams like this. In games like this, you got to maximize it. We failed to do that.
Chris Stevens, Gwinnett Post. Jalen, talk about what their defensive line, excellent front seven, just being able to mostly keep you in the pocket and limit your running abilities.
Yeah, just kind of what I said last time. They got great players. Really athletic players, fast. They play strong and they rally to the ball. But when you play this game, you talk about the controllables. You know what you can control. And we didn't take advantage of our opportunities, and that's something that we can't control. They play really good defense. But we were too inconsistent to come out on top of this game, and I think that's the blunt reality of it.
Right here, second row in the aisle.
George Stoya, OU Daily. Jalen, you talked a lot about your college football career being unprecedented. Take me through, how do you hope, you know, OU fans in this program just remember your time here at Oklahoma, being here only, you know, 12 months?
You know, it's hard to just sit here and reflect on 4 years, a whole year of my brothers this year, all of that right now. You know, it hurts me. You know, you talk about how much it means to you and the team. It's supposed to hurt. And this is not a good feeling. You know, this is a feeling I've never felt before. It hurts me in my heart, you know. When I decided to come to this school, I told Coach Riley, I'm going to go win you a national championship, and I failed to do that. And moving forward, I definitely hope, you know, I've already told them, I hope that you guys learn from this. I hope everybody learns from this, and it hurts me the most, because usually when you come up short in something, you can come back and you can fix it. I can't come back and fix it. I'll never play college football again.
Right here.
Larry Holder with The Athletic. Lincoln, what were some of the things maybe you saw as the game was going on that allowed Joe Burrow to, you know, be so successful throwing against you guys?
You know, we had a hard time, obviously, corralling him back there. You know, we're certainly not the only ones that have. You know, they've got a good offensive line. We had a couple opportunities to get him on the ground. You know, that we didn't. They made a couple plays in scramble, just a couple with pretty good coverage, competitive plays. I mean, those are going to happen from time to time. The biggest disappointing thing for me was the bust that we had defensively, and that's been something all year we've done a tremendous job of. We have had, for being in year one of a system, we have had remarkably few busts throughout the year, and it's been a big key to, you know, why we've, you know, done some of the things we've been able to do defensively and made such huge strides like we have. And we gave him a few there that are probably the most disappointing. So, he's a good player. He's got good players around him. You know, they made some tremendous plays. The ones I'll be most disappointed about were the ones that like I said, that we busted and just kind of gift wrapped for them.
Time for a couple more. We'll go right here again in the front.
Including Buki's ejection, how much – you mentioned the guys earlier, the three missing players. How much did that actually, do you think, contribute? I mean, when you look at the final score, you're thinking, wow, could three players have made that big of a difference? So, ultimately, what were those three guys' impact? Them being gone, what was their impact?
I don't know how you measure that. I mean, it's – yeah, you certainly, of course, you love to go into these games with every single player healthy and every player feeling good and available and all that. Of course you'd want to, especially when you're playing another great team. But that wasn't the hand we were dealt. Honestly, that hadn't been the hand that we've been dealt all year. I mean, it's been one of those years here. And, you know, despite all that, we were able to win a fifth straight Big 12 championship, able to get back here to the college football playoff. And so, you know, I'll be happy to talk about the guys that did play, though.
All right. Right here, back to Barry.
Yeah, Barry Trammell with the Oklahoma. Jalen, you've played against LSU before. What's different about this LSU team than the ones you played when you were at Alabama?
I think the obvious difference is they're scoring 50-something points. I mean, think they've always had a really good defense, and they have this year. They've always had great players. They have a hell of an offense, and it's all a credit to how efficient they've been. A lot of respect for them.
All right, right here.
George Stoy, OU Daily. Lincoln, you said last year after the Orange Bowl, you guys were agonizing close to, as a program, to winning a national championship. You guys are back at the playoff. Obviously not the result you wanted, but how close is this program to reaching that?
Well, we're continuing to make strides. There's no doubt about it. Just putting yourself here four times in 5 years is that's so hard to do, man. It's so hard to do. I think we've made some great improvements with the program. I'm excited where we're headed defensively. I think we've just scratched the surface about how good we can get on that side. This program's got a championship DNA. We kind of find a way, and we'll be back.
All right, we're going to end it there. Thank you, gentlemen.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life, on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
And our coverage here in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl, the college football playoff, brought to you by ETL Business and Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge. LSU, big winner tonight, going to the national championship game, 63-28 win over the Oklahoma Sooners. We're waiting for Ed Ogeron to go to the podium. When he does, we'll let you hear his press conference. We're going to take your calls later on. We've got guys down at the stadium. We'll be doing all that. In the meantime, Jimmy.
What are we going to complain about?
Nothing.
Nothing to complain about.
It's to talk about how good this team is. Let's talk for a minute here, though, about what's happening early in the Fiesta Bowl. Ohio State opening drive, they get a field goal. Clemson put together a drive to get a field goal attempt, but they missed that. And then Ohio State, the big play, J.K. Dobbins, long touchdown run. It's 10-0 Buckeyes.
Some interesting moves early. Ohio State gets the throw down to the 5-yard line. First and goal. Looks like they're going to go in, but Clemson did a really good job of keeping him out of the end zone. So it's 3-0. And even on 3rd and 4, a complete read option left, fake, nothing but Trevor Lawrence running the ball, and he converted. But then they had incompletion, missed field goal, and J.K. Dobbins, who, my goodness, he squats about 700 pounds. Well, the safety tried to make a move. He made one, and he got crossed up, and off you go. This is the classic case. Like, are you sharp enough? Were you pushed enough to maximize your development as a team with that schedule? Ohio State, by everybody's account, is more battle-tested. And, but is it going to take them for a while? We know what they're capable of. We've seen it, especially this offense. But Ohio State early on, getting the breaks, getting the plays, the 10-0 lead.
Clemson did not give up more than 20 points in a game all season. And they've given up 10 in, what are we playing, 7 minutes now, seven, eight minutes into this thing. You can see, when you step up in class sometimes, what this happens, it's a horse racing term, but
yes,
stepping up in class here for Clemson, and Ohio State has punched him in the mouth here early.
It's what drove me crazy during the back and forth with Ohio State and LSU as the number one. It how many times on a Daily Show, Charlie, have I said, it's all about who you play. College football from 1 to 130 is so drastic. The elite teams are so much better than the really good teams, and they're so much better than the good teams, and they're so much better than the average teams, the weaker teams. It is just, and, that's the edge that Ohio State had. Keep in mind, this is a little quicker turnaround than what it was 43 days from when Ohio State finished the game against Michigan and went and played Florida in the national championship, went and played LSU in the national championship. So this team just looks a little sharp. Trust me now. Ohio State got the opening kickoff. Clemson's fine, but this is early on in the game. This is an important drive for Clemson.
It is, just to stem the momentum, if nothing else. And they had a decent drive. And look, this game's far, far from over. But Ohio State kind of flexing a little muscle here early. we talk about it all the time. What happens when you get really and you face some adversity? And Clemson has faced almost no adversity this year. The North Carolina game, and that's pretty much it. Everything else, they were on cruise control. This is some serious adversity here.
Ohio State looks good, too, at the line of scrimmage. They're getting some push with their offensive line, and they're not giving up a whole lot on the defensive line. So it's very early, but the early things are this team's been pushed more.
Yes.
This team's got the better resume. And, I mean, and that's the thing. We're handicapping things like that. Well, I don't know everything, whatever, but I do know this. Ohio State has been tested more. They have played by far a tougher schedule.
All right, we got a break to make up from that the last press conference. We're still waiting on Ed Ogeron, so we'll take a break and come back with more here. The Scoreboard Show, LSU, a 63-28 winner. They're going to the national championship game. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Ryan Ingram Builders makes building your dream home a dream process. Quality custom homes, named Best of Ascension Home Builders 2018, BBB accredited. Trust your forever home with a local builder. On Facebook, Ryan Ingram Builders. Online, ingrambuilds.com.
Tiger fans, this is Skip Bertman. Are your insurance needs covered from personal to commercial? Brian Bennett, former outfielder for the 1997 National Championship team, can take care of all of your insurance needs. Insurance Procurement Services covers all lines, including life, disability, home, auto, health, and employee benefits. I'm proud of Brian for showing that championship spirit with all his customers. Go with a champion. Call 225-300-8747 and ask for Brian Bennett.
WCK Foundation Repair, locally owned and operated, has been in business over 25 years. Engineers agree WCK uses the best repair method for Louisiana's unique soil conditions. Rely on WCK to provide a solid standard with friendly local professionals. Interest-free financing available. WCK Foundation Repair.
WCK Foundation Repair. WCK, a leader among peers. WCK.
Are your ones for...
And here's what I told him. I told him what happened. And here's what he said. Coach, we're going to get through this. And obviously he was distraught, but he called a great game today. So just to show you the integrity and the grit and character of the men on our football team. Really proud of these two young men on the side of me. They're great players, they're great teammates. What a tremendous job. I thought we played for about three quarters. We played a complete game, and give Oklahoma credit. They have some great athletes. Coach Riley's a great coach, and they've had a lot of success.
All right, thank you, Coach. All right, we'll open up questions. Raise your hand. We'll get you a microphone, please. All right, we'll start right here, second row.
Larry Holder with The Athletic. Joe, describe kind of what you were thinking on when you did the scramble and you kind of made the heave to Terrace Marshall, and it was seemingly – really similar to what you did here three weeks ago.
I trust my guys. You know, I trust them enough to throw 50-50 balls up to them, and they're going to go make a play for me. So I got great people around me, and that's why we've been so successful. We have trust in each other.
Okay, right here.
You told me, Michael Cobble, WBRZ-TV in Baton Rouge. Earlier in the week you said that you're able to identify the defenses very quick. How quickly did you realize that what you guys have prepped for this game was going to be successful?
First series when we scored a touchdown. we go into every game thinking nobody can stop us, and that's the way we think. We think we need to score every time we touch the ball, and if we don't, then we're still kind of chasing that perfect game. You know, it's always something to get better at, and today was a lot of fun, but still room to improve.
Okay, right over here.
Matt Moscona, ESPN Baton Rouge. Joe, you and Justin, you guys both set a lot of records today. Are you aware of them? Do any of them mean any more than others? They handed us a whole sheet of all the records y'all set today.
January 13th is the record we're worried about.
Justin?
Same. that's the goal of the whole season, to win that national championship. So we're not going to stop until we get that.
All right, right here, middle of the second round.
Yeah, hey, Doug Mouton, WWL-TV in New Orleans. Look, Ed, I know it was obviously a rough day for Steve. For you personally, dealing with this, how difficult would you describe it for you? Who knows how to handle something like that?
You know, being a head coach, stuff's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen. You got to be prepared. But you know what? You have great people around you. it makes it a lot better. Well, it was tough. It was tough. I didn't want the team to know. I didn't want it to affect the team, the mindset of the football team, the energy of the football team. Neither did Steve. We did not try to keep it to them. I think they found out before the game. And, you know, there was a little concern there might be a little low, but it sure wasn't the way we started. And you got to give the credit to our football player.
All right, right here on the left side, three quarters of the way back.
Tony Marks, Vilpatrick Gazette. Full disclosure, earlier on the radio today, I said you would win 28-16, so submit a couple for that. But this is for all three of you. Put this game and the season in perspective for you.
Go ahead, Joe.
I think, you know, that'll be a question after January 13th. I'm not reflecting on anything right now. We're full steam ahead, getting back to work.
I mean, we're not done. We still have a lot of – we have one more game left. I mean, we're going to go in these next 2 weeks focused, ready to go, and, I mean, dominate the next matchup that we face.
You know, I'll give them some credit, but I'm going to enjoy the win tonight. you know, semi-final playoff game against a darn good football team. I don't know how many top 10 – wins these guys have had this year. I think it's more than anybody in a long time. So I'm going to enjoy this victory. Oklahoma's a good football team. And then we're going to go through the process. We're going to get a couple of days off. And we'll watch the game tonight and see who we're playing. And we'll start preparing.
All right, Steve. Now, behind him.
Kind of a two-part question. Coach, first of all, was it a difficult decision at all for Coach Ensminger to decide to work tonight?
It was no question. He didn't hesitate.
And as far as the players, when did you guys find out about this, and how did it affect you?
I found out about it in the post-game interview. I didn't. Nobody said anything to me about it until then.
It was same. I found out in the interview, and just the fact that he still stuck with the game and still called a great game. So that just means a lot for the players, and I mean, I feel bad for him. I'm sorry for him for his loss, but I mean, we're all with him.
All right, right here in the front row, right side.
Hey, Joe. You know, Jamar has had a lot of the headlines this year, and deservedly so. He's had a fantastic season, but Justin has been your guy now for 2 years. I mean, can you just talk about this performance for him and what, you know, you think it means for this team?
You know, I think he'll be the first to tell you that he could have had two more touchdowns, but I missed him on down the sideline and on the right one. He made sure to let me know that one on the sideline.
All right, next question here, Jacques.
Jacques Doucet, WAP TV in Baton Rouge. Coach Ogeron, what was it about Chris Curry that enabled him to, you know, play such a big role tonight?
You know, the style of runs that we're running. His practice the last 2 weeks. Coaches came up to me today and said, Coach, we think that Chris Curry ought to be the first back in. Y'all believe in him, put him in, and he played well. So he's proved, you know, Chris has come a long way, and he's proved on a daily basis to his teammates and to his coaches that he's worthy of the game that he played tonight. And I'm excited about him, and I'm excited about the other backs, too, and I'm really proud of Clyde. You know, Clyde was hurt, but he wanted to play for his team. He played in some situations and did a good job.
Right here, halfway back on the right side.
Ed, can you update Damian Lewis and Terrace Marshall, who left the game?
Damian is going to – somebody hit his ankle on the side, and he's going to be out for a little bit. I don't know the severity of it yet. Terrace, I think, is going to be sore for a little bit, should be fine. Dito is the one that I don't know if he's going to be able to practice in a week or so. We'll see.
All right, Oliver Barrett.
Ed Barrett Salee, CBS Sports HQ. You always make a point to say that this is for the state of Louisiana in your postgame press conferences. Now you're going to the national championship game in the state of Louisiana. Just what does that mean to you?
A great story. You know, obviously it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a purple and gold crowd in that Superdome. The state of Louisiana is going to be on fire. But all those things doesn't win the football game for you. We have to prepare. We have to study. We have to be ready to play our best football game. Obviously, when you're playing a national championship game, you're going to be playing a very, very good football team. So all those things on the perimeter are nice. It's just like in a fight when you get hit with the first punch, all that stuff goes out the window, and you got to play football. So we're going to prepare, wherever it may be, and obviously we feel that's going to be an advantage playing at home, and we love that it is at home, but that's not going to win the game for you.
All right, right behind Gary.
Yeah, this is for Joe. Gary McKillop, AP Radio. You had that huge lead going into the second half, and I'm just wondering, what did that do to you? Did you kind of take your foot off the gas or something? I mean, you still did well, but nothing like the first half.
No, we didn't take the foot off the gas. We went into halftime, said it was 0-0, and we came out and scored on the first possession, and then missed a field goal the second possession. So we were moving the ball, and I think those are my last two series, I believe.
Did LSU adjust?
They were doing exactly what they were doing in the first half. You know, we were still moving the ball, still scoring points.
All right, right here in the front.
Dick Cox with Cox Sports Broadcasting and Lindy Sports. This is for Joe and for Justin. When the game plan is clicking like that, what's going through your mind? Anxious to get back out on the field, or what are you thinking when it seems like everything's working?
Yeah, let's get back out there on the field and keep executing. I'm just thinking about, my read keys and what I have to do each individual play. So I'm hoping the defense gets stops every time, but every game I'm just going through read keys, going through, what my coaches want on each particular play call and try to execute the best of my ability.
Marty Smith, ESPN. Congratulations, gentlemen. Coach, when and how did you learn about the plane accident? And how do you process that information to be able to disseminate that to Coach Ensminger?
It's funny. Derek Bonamski and I was writing. We have a coaches meeting at 12:30, and we had finished a walkthrough at 11:30, so I was kind of writing down the things and the game plan and stuff that we were going to discuss. And I looked at Derek, and I said, Derek, you know what? Thank God we've gone through the whole week without any incidents. Usually you go to a bowl, something happens. None of our guys were tested or suspended for anything. Nobody missed curfew. It was almost a perfect week. Then he got the text, and I had to go find Steve, and then I told him about 12:30.
All the way back in the back on the left.
Ed Daniels, WGNO New Orleans. Coach, that's now 55 touchdown passes for Joe for the season. You're a student of the game. Do you think that anybody in college football has ever had a better year than Joe is having right now?
No. Not I can remember. No, they had some guys running the football and stuff like that. But to see what those guys are doing out on the field, and me being a football fan, I'm kind of a fan. I'm like, hey, go ahead, guys. Way to go, man. It's incredible what this coaching staff has done, what these players have done, the connection that they have with the receivers, the protection on the offensive line. I've been a part of some good football teams, but I've never been a part of an offense like this.
All right, right here, Steve.
Yeah, Steve Harmer with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And it's another Joe question. You've seen an awful lot from him this year. I don't know where you put 7 touchdowns and a half. How do you process something like that?
Me? I felt that we were going to do very, very well. And I felt against Oklahoma, in order for us to get ahead, we had to score every possession. I had the utmost respect for Jalen Hurts and CeeDee Lamb. Not to think that we wasn't going to stop them, but I felt that we had to put the pedal to the metal and get a big lead, which we did. So it doesn't surprise me that they did the things that they did, but it does surprise me they did it with the ease that they did.
All right, right here on the aisle on the right side.
It's for Justin and Joe. Just Justin, what is it like to be a part of this receiving core and have the success and have a guy that can get you the ball the way Joe does? And then, Joe, we talked about it a lot. You have options. You're able to go to plans, down the line. But to get everyone involved, to keep them, and to have the level of success that you guys have executing, do you ever think it's unusual?
All right. Justin, start with you.
To have this receiver core and have Joe throwing it to us kind of makes our job easier. All we have to do is just catch the ball. So just going to practice every day, just working with each other, just being competitive, just being our normal self, just being goofy, just, you know, just laughing at all practice. That's what we do. So just not being really, you know, so serious all the time, just being ourselves, and Joe just make our job easier.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have a couple goofy guys when I'm so serious all the time. So they keep me, you know, having fun on the football field. But I wouldn't say it's unusual. I would say it's special. You know, we've worked for this. We know the kind of team we have. We know the kind of guys we have. And I think it starts with the relationships that we've built and between us and the coaching staff. You know, we're such a close team. I think that's why we've had so much success.
All right, we've got time for a few more. We'll go right over here on the right.
Amos Morales, WWL Radio. Justin, Thad told us that he came up to you after your fourth touchdown and said, hey, share the wealth. Just what's it like playing in a game where, you know, you guys are having that much fun on the sideline?
I mean, once someone's hot, why not keep going to them? So Joe just keep finding me on the field, just making those big plays. Just like Coach said, big plays feel the emotion. So just going out there, just doing what I got to do.
All right, let's go right here in the middle of the second, third row.
Brooks Cabina from The Advocate. Ed, you've been a part of national championship teams. This is the first for you as a head coach. Mm-hmm. Has that fact sunk in yet for you, and how do you approach these next weeks, you know, with now that the moment is finally here?
It won't be any different. It will not be any different. We won't make it bigger than life. Obviously, we understand the magnitude of the football game, but we're going to focus on the task at hand, the fundamentals, getting better. We're an ascending football team. We're going to study on our game plan, and we're going to work just like we've been. We'll go through the process with confidence.
Yeah, right here. Back to Jacques.
Coach Ogeron, did you know Carly at all? Did you ever interact with her? Sure. What are your memories
all of her? All the time. Yeah. Knew her. You know, we'd go to McNeese games. She interviewed me and Kelly. Saw it all the time. Saw the state championship game. In fact, I can't go to state championship game. We watched it, and we watched her work from early morning to late at night. Me and my wife complimented her, and obviously we're friends with the Ensmingers, and so we've seen her around all the time. What an outstanding young lady with a bright future. It's just a shame it happened.
Let's go right here. Yep.
When there's an offensive day like that, it's obviously going to get a lot of the attention, but you mentioned the defense getting stops to build a lead. Three of the first four possessions were three and out. What worked so well, and maybe a thought also on Caleb Vaughn, who was the MVP?
Yeah, we had pressure on quarterback. We felt that we could win our one-on-ones against them, but really I thought we stopped their run game. I thought Coach Aranda had a tremendous plan. That counter read, I ain't seen nobody stop it. The key was Jalen Hurst not beating us with his feet, and we did a great job of that. We thought that C.D. Lamb would be hard to cover, but we didn't think they would drop back and throw the football on us to beat us. So Coach made them one-dimensional. We had a great pass rush. Very proud of Coach Aranda and the whole defensive staff. They worked very hard this week. Yes. No, I think, you know, Kellerman had one of his best games. Kellerman had his best week of practice. We named him team captain. I told him that last night, and he is coming on to his own.
Okay, right here in the front right.
Chris Stevens on Gwinnett Daily Post. Talking about the defense, I mean, first play of the game, y'all go get a sack on Jalen. How much did that set the tone for LSU?
When you have an offense like we have and you win the toss, human nature wants you to take the ball. But I want to show our defense I had confidence in them, and we deferred, and man, it worked out perfect. And they came out on fire. They wanted to go out on defense first and stop them. Went three and out. They had a short punt and we scored. So it worked. But I think it set the tone for the football game.
All right, we've got time for two more. We're going to go all the way back on the left.
Jay Black, WSB Radio. Joe, you had a performance tonight that very few have. What is it like to be in that kind of a rhythm?
You know, to be honest, it wasn't my sharpest game. And this guy was bailing me out on a couple of throws that I had missed, and guys like Terrace and Jamar were bailing me out on some misreads and being late with the football. So, you know, I think I'm excited to get back to practice and kind of tune those things up. But that's kind of that's the kind of team we have. Someone doesn't have their best game, the other guys step up.
Over here, far right side, halfway.
Jim Trusby, Wall Street Journal. Joe, you were saying that you were still in search of the perfect game. In the late game right now, Ohio State has an early lead. Are you looking, would that be a perfect ending for your college career?
I'm excited to play in the national title game.
All right, I think that's a good spot to end it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Coach?
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Back here at the Marriott Scoreboard Show. 63-28 is the score you need to know. LSU blasts Oklahoma. They'll head to the national championship game in the Superdome on January the 13th. A video game-like performance for the Tigers tonight. And they completely blew away what was a pretty good Oklahoma team. All that's left now is who LSU will play. The early indications are that Ohio State is starting to take control of this game a little bit. They've got a touchdown that will put them up 17-0 with the extra point. I think they're going to bring this one back, though. This was a catch in the end zone that I think they're going to say hit the ground. But the ruling on the field was a touchdown. This is early, the first minute of the second quarter right now. Ohio State with a long touchdown run by J.K. Dobbins plus a field goal and now knocking on the door again. Here's the call to see if, and it is an incomplete pass. So they'll take the touchdown off the board, but Ohio State now with fourth down will have another chance to extend their lead with a field goal, and that field goal is good, I believe. Yep. Crowd has overrun us here at the Marriott with all of the LSU fans making their way back from the game. Again, the press conferences have put us a little bit behind, so we're going to make up a break here. And when we come back, we'll join Richard Dixon, who's our normal host on postgame. He's back in Baton Rouge. We'll get his thoughts when we return. Your phone call still to come in just a little bit. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Tigers win it tonight by a score of 63-28. LSU going to the national championship game. Ohio State has taken a 13-0 lead over Clemson early in the second quarter. At the Fiesta Bowl, the winner of that one will play LSU for the national title. Let's bring in one of my co-hosts for postgame during the season, Richard Dixon, who's back in Baton Rouge at the home base. Richard, another one of your records falls tonight, your 55-yard reception, the longest by a tight end since 1959. That came off the board tonight. Thaddeus Moss is just picking you off left and right, man. But I know you were happy to see it with LSU coming out with the big win tonight against Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl.
Oh, there's no doubt, man. I was most excited just to see that route ran, see it thrown to the tight end, let him enjoy a nice long touchdown. It's been there for years, and then, you know what, I'm just happy to see him finally catch one.
Tell me your thoughts about how LSU came out and seized control of this game, the things that they were able to do, not just offensively, but defensively as well, and really seized control of this thing and kind of put it away in the second quarter, early in the second quarter.
No, it was domination early in the first half. And, you know, I mean, it was a great night for Tiger fans. It was a sad night for some. I think that the guys really played for Coach Ensminger and his daughter-in-law, Carly McCord, Carly Ensminger. I really feel like they came out and they put it all on the line. They didn't want to put any pressure on Coach E, and I think they played for him tonight and tried to put it away as early as possible.
Some of the things that Oklahoma was trying to do defensively, that you saw that obviously not very much of it worked. But what did you think schematically they were trying to do differently to throw LSU off?
Well, I'll tell you that they tried to follow the game plan of Auburn a little bit, not necessarily as the 3-7-2 or whatever, but they were trying to play a lot of zone coverage, play a lot of coverage and rush 3, rush 4. But they don't have the guys, obviously, that Auburn or even Georgia had to sit there and let their front 4, front 3 rush the quarterback and put pressure on Joe.
When we were doing the post game for the SEC championship game and we were talking about who LSU might play, you said the one quarterback that worried you was Jalen Hurts' running ability. LSU took that away tonight. They said, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us from the pocket, and he had a rough night back there. Talk a little bit about what you saw, what LSU was able to do to contain Jalen Hurts tonight.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now that Caleb Williams Chase played his best game as an LSU Tiger tonight. He had pressure all night long. He was all in the backfield. He never gave Jalen any bit of comfort in the backfield. I think that him alone, I think the whole defense played great, but him alone played the best game of his career. It didn't really matter what they did from a blitzing standpoint, because Caleb Williams was getting back there all night and causing havoc. Jalen never had a minute to really set his feet and be comfortable throwing the ball back there.
So when they got down early, we saw him go with a trick play. We saw him do it almost seemed like a little bit of desperation early, but it was warranted. The strange feel of a game that was slipping away from them in the very first quarter of play.
No doubt. They knew from the get-go, if they didn't go touchdown for touchdown with LSU, they're going to be in trouble. And I felt like early on, once Joe Burrow scored on two of the first three drives, they got stopped twice, two of the first three drives, that they had to make something happen. They were really to pull out all the hats out the – or all the tricks out the hat. They were going to do whatever they could to get back in the game. And this was just a night where LSU completely outcoached them, outmatched them, and, for the better words, outplayed them.
When you look at Joe Burrow and you watch him play, why has he taken everything that every defense has thrown at him and still been able to execute no matter what has happened? He's been able to make the right read and the right adjustment every single time.
He's not a college football player, man. I mean, I'm sitting here watching the game. My dad texted me, a former Mississippi State player, and said, Joe Burrow is not human. And he's right. I mean, for a college guy, he breaks down defenses to understand what is being thrown at him more than I've ever seen a college football quarterback do. He's a pro-ready guy. He's in the film room. He is with the coaching staff. I've talked to guys inside the building. He's in there game planning with them. I mean, he's in there, 12 hours a day figuring out what's going to happen. And what he does, I mean, he is the smartest college football player I've ever seen. I've never seen a guy more well-prepared than Joe Burrow.
Matt Flynn also tweeted out something very similar to that, that this is a professional quarterback that we're seeing. So give me the – is it – we get the work ethic, but there's a lot of guys that work hard. Is there something to the idea that he's been around the game as a coach's son all of his life? Does that play into – he's also 23 years old, so we're not talking about a young college football player either. All of those things and what else?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I've been around a lot of great quarterbacks. I've been with Matt Flynn at the college level, Matt Stafford at the pro level. But even as dedicated as the ball player Matt Flynn was and Matt Stafford was, from what I'm hearing with this guy is he lives, breathes, eats, sleeps, and dies football. I mean, all he does is sit in the game room. He sits with the coaches. There's not a game plan put into place where he hasn't had his say-so on how he wants it ran. This guy has brought guys in from the LSU football team on Saturdays. He had a player-only practices. He's had these guys on he's just the leadership is what I'm talking about. He has had all his entire team believe in him to where that they're going to say, look, this guy's telling us to be there on Saturday. We're going to be there on Saturday. We're going to learn exactly what Joe wants us to do from a leadership standpoint, from a mentality standpoint, and just from a playmaking standpoint. He is one of the greatest I've ever seen.
And to do that with a group that he had to get acclimated to very, very quickly with the transfer makes the story all that more overwhelming, I would say. Richard, I don't know if you had a chance to watch much of Ohio State and Clemson, but you've seen Ohio State leads in that game 13-0 in the second quarter right now. Thoughts on potential matchups either way?
Oh, let's play Ohio State. I'd love to see Joe Burrow go against his former team. I'd love to see Ohio State get beat again since we beat him in 07. Going into the game, I thought Clemson was the better team. But the way it's looking right now, Ohio State's really come out to prove themselves. But to me, there's no better story than Joe Burrow playing Ohio State in New Orleans.
You believe in destiny? I mean, it's
no,
kind of
I
corny,
really
but I hate to be cliche-ish about it, but it almost seems like with everything that has happened with him,
that it's almost like preordained. Yes, not only are you going to win the Heisman and break all these records and get LSU to the national championship game in Louisiana, but when we're finished with all that, guess who you get to play? It's Ohio State, the team that you left. You believe in that stuff?
No doubt. I've had that conversation with so many times. God has his hands on everything. It seems like Joe Burrow's had only a story that God could write up. And, you know, when you do what he's done, you've said the right things. You've given that Heisman speech that has done so much for your hometown. It's only right to come back and play Ohio State in the national championship.
Richard, we appreciate your work all year. I know you're going to be down with us in New Orleans. So enjoy the rest of the evening,
man.
Yeah, you're only 2 months behind Rohan. Rohan booked his, I think, back in October or something like that.
No, so we're going to be down there. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yes, it is. Richard, thanks a lot, man. Enjoy tonight.
No problem. Your office stick travels back.
All right, we'll take a break here. This is the Scoreboard Show. We're brought to you by Etail Business and Mercedes-Benz of Baton Rouge, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.